Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. How to overcome your fears. Hi friends, welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Rebecca, and today is the last day of April, April 30th. Yesterday we started on the article, Cooking What They Can't See, and we talked about an interesting place in Sacramento, California, where they teach blind people how to cook. Today we return for day two of this article, and we will continue to talk about some of the things that the center does and how to overcome your fears. Now, I want to start off with first welcoming Eva to the show.
Hi, everyone. Great to be back. And I'm really excited to discuss and continue what we were talking about yesterday.
Eva, my question I want to kick off at the beginning of the show is, what is one fear you had to overcome? And how did you overcome that fear?
Well, it's a recent fear, and I think it's a very modern fear.
Yes.
I actually had the fear of going to the gym, because I feel like I didn't know how to work out. I knew I had to.
Yes.
I didn't know how
yes.
to. I was very unfit, but I wanted to. So I got someone to help me, because I feel like if I go there, people are going to watch me.
Yes.
And I don't know what to do. So I looked high and low for a personal trainer who was someone who just accompanied me whenever I went there, teaching me, going through the different motions with me, giving me a lot of advice and just encouraging me to not have that fear of working out. And it was very interesting for me, because I always thought that, oh, I was afraid of going to the gym, but I think it was actually the fear of working out alone, because I just thought like, I don't know how to do these different things, and if I do it wrongly, someone would laugh at me. Yeah. So it was a lot of mindset shifts as well,
right.
of not fearing the place itself, not fearing the exercise itself, and just having that person to encourage me along helped a lot. So yeah, I don't fear it anymore. In fact, I go by myself quite often every week now.
That's fantastic. So it's really helpful sometimes first to have a friend or like a mentor, or in your case, a personal trainer, right?
Yes.
Right at the very beginning.
Yeah.
To kind of just show you around and tell you, okay, this is how you do it.
Correct. And just someone who already knows how to do it, has been doing it for some time, and kind of like telling you that, hey, it's okay to start from ground zero, but I have seen many people like you, and just encouraging me along, and that really helped.
Yes. And also a lot of times they tell you, I've seen many people like you, and you can become like this.
Yes,
like
correct.
You have the potential to change and become an enhanced version of yourself,
yep.
right? Yeah, I think that's a great example. Yeah, for me too, like going to the gym, like for me, having a personal trainer really helped. I actually still have a personal trainer, even now. Like
mm-hmm.
I still have a personal trainer that I work with, and he is incredible. I am so grateful.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful. Like, he makes me so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes me better. So sometimes having a good mentor really makes a big difference.
Correct, yes.
And then, overcoming a fear, it's not a big fear, but maybe it's a small fear. In a previous job, one time, my boss was going to fly back to her home country. She was from Denmark, and she's going to fly back to her home country. So basically, I went to the airport with her in her SUV. Like, she drove an SUV. And I had never driven an SUV in my life.
Okay.
I've always driven just, the normal cars, the normal sedans. Never driven an SUV. And then, but like, I guess I was just really busy before going to the airport, so I didn't take a test drive in her SUV at all.
Oh.
And then, but then, like, she was flying back to Denmark, so I went over to the airport, and then she wanted me to drive her SUV back to her apartment. So I dropped her off. Okay, She drove herself to the airport with me, and then I dropped her off. She dropped herself off at the airport, and then I was responsible for driving the SUV back to her apartment. Now, as someone who can drive a car, driving is not a hard thing to do, but not having a test drive and driving on the SUV on the highway is probably not the best thing to do when you haven't had a test drive.
True.
So to be honest, I was a little bit scared driving back. I was like, oh, I hope this works out. But thankfully, it all worked out. I got the car back to her apartment safely. Mm-hmm. And I got home in one piece. I didn't get into a car wreck.
Wow, yeah.
But, you know, like usually if you're driving a car you're not familiar with, it's probably a good idea to do a test drive.
Correct.
Yeah. Make sure you know where all the controls are, like how to move the mirrors, like just all the simple things of driving a car. It's probably a good idea that you did all of this before you actually got on a highway.
Yeah.
So that's just one thing that I overcame. And I think sometimes overcoming your fears, you just got to do it.
It's true.
You just got to do it. Like something you're afraid of. Sometimes you can't think too much. You just got to jump in and just do it.
Yes.
Yeah. So I think that is just another way to approach some of your fears. Not all fears. Some fears you just have to jump in and face it and just do it. On that note, let's get into our first reading for today, and we will continue talking about how the center in Sacramento helps many blind people learn how to cook and overcome their fears.
To help people get the most from the center, participants are paired with other blind people. Diane Sterin of Sacramento is Johnson's independent living instructor. She is 65 and lost her sight at 18 months of age. I've been here 18 years, so one of the things that the clients tell me impacts them almost the most is to see all the instructors are blind, said Sterin. When they see people living successful independent lives, normal lives, then they get it quicker. The center's goal isn't to teach a person how to cook every recipe they will ever make in their lives. What you're learning is the technique. Here, they're learning non-visual ways to do it, she said.
So how does the center help these people? Eva, it's interesting. The people who go to the center, they get paired with other blind people.
Yeah.
It's the blind leading the blind. I mean, we have this idiom in English, and that idiom is actually not a very positive idiom.
Correct.
When we say the blind leading the blind, it's like, for example, I go to a company and they assign me to this person, and then another person says, oh, he doesn't know what he's doing. So it's like the blind leading the blind.
Yeah.
So usually when we say blind leading the blind is someone trying to teach you something that they don't even know how to do properly.
Yeah, correct.
You know, but this is interesting. In this center, the blind is literally leading the blind.
Yeah.
Yeah, why is that? Okay, who is Johnson's mentor or instructor?
Yeah, so his mentor is Diane, and she is slightly older than him at 65, and she actually lost her sight at 18 months of age.
Wow.
That is a very young child, I can imagine.
Wow. So basically, she has had to learn how to live independently.
Yes.
While being blind almost her entire life, right?
Yeah.
Since she was 18 months old, she's been blind.
Yeah.
So she's had many years of experience of being blind.
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. And then, like, for us who are not blind, we think it's kind of interesting that you have a blind instructor teaching a blind person. And then we go on, Diane continues to talk, and Diane says, I've been here 18 years. One of the things that the clients or the customers tell me impacts them almost to the most is to see all the instructors are blind.
Yeah.
That is really interesting. Why would people feel so strongly, and in this situation, they feel positive about their instructors being blind?
Yeah. Well, she says that when they see people living successful, independent lives, normal lives, and they get it quicker. So I can imagine that I have all these fear, you know, that I can't do it. And if someone who is very similar to me has lost their sight and has been doing it for some time and have proven to reach a certain amount of success, I think I would be assured that, yeah, I think I can do it as well because they have done it and they seem amazing at it.
So basically someone who is in a situation similar to me.
Yeah.
If they can do it, if this Diane has been blind all her life and she can do it, then yeah, I can definitely learn how to do it.
Exactly.
So you have to see someone who is similar to you doing that. Mm. And I think this is an interesting point. I think maybe in our part of the world, we don't talk about diversity as mm-hmm. much. But in North American Western countries, we talk a lot about the importance of diversity. We need to see people who are similar to us do mm-hmm. different things. Like, yep, for example, when President Obama became president in the U.S., it was so important because for the African American community, it was so important because finally there was somebody with their skin color,
yep,
who is now president. So if Obama can do it, it means that if I'm a young African American child, whether it's a girl or boy, looking on TV, I'm like, oh, he can do it. So that means I can do it too.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so a lot of times we need to see people who are similar to us do something. Yeah. And years ago, it was seeing women doing public speaking or mm-hmm. women in leadership positions. But nowadays, this is more and more common. So it's not as rare to see a woman on the stage just like a man. But in past times, like when you thought of CEO, immediately your head was, oh, it's a man.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of times we need to see people who are similar to us on stage or in public doing that thing that we think we might not be able to do. And once we see that, we know, oh, we can do it too.
Yeah, we feel empowered that, you know, if he can do it and maybe we have had the same environment or the same type of opportunities, maybe I can also get there one day.
Yes. And I think in a similar matter, just like we need to, for diversity, we need to see diverse people in public doing things just to let us know that we can do it too. In the same way, for somebody like Johnson to see his instructor is blind,
yeah,
and can do all these things, it gives him a lot of hope because that means perhaps I can do it too. And then here it goes on to say the center's goal isn't to teach a person how to cook every recipe. Now that's too much. But they're trying to learn, what they're teaching is technique. And they're learning non-visual ways to do it.
Yeah.
Now, this is really interesting. Because even when I think about cooking, I think about, like, in cooking, if you want to follow a recipe, a lot of it is measuring.
Correct.
Just, like, you have to measure, like, 1 cup of flour, like 2 teaspoons of oil.
Yes.
Now, measurement is so dependent on using our eyes because we have to use that device.
Yeah, like a spoon or like a, you know, a cup to see things easily and know that, okay, I'm at the right amount.
Yeah. But if you're blind, you can't see.
Yeah.
So measurement becomes a huge problem.
Correct.
And then actually in our sidebar, we have a kitchen lesson for the blind. This is actually really interesting. It tells us one way that they teach you how to measure. So basically, to follow a recipe that calls for a teaspoon of vanilla, participants are taught to pour the liquid into a bowl. So I guess that means pour the vanilla into a bowl. And then use a spoon to scoop it out.
Whatever
so that's the
need.
Opposite of how we usually do it, right? Because usually we just open the vanilla bottle and then we just squeeze and then we just look and then, you know. So there are ways around it, but you need to figure out what are these ways.
Correct.
Like how to do measurement without seeing. Yeah, this is interesting. So that's one example how to learn non-visual ways to do it. Non-visual way here, talking about measurement, but cooking in general. How do you cook without being able to see?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, let's get into our second reading where we're going to talk about some of the things that Johnson has learned here and also some of the things that he suggests on how you should overcome your fear.
Overcoming those fears. With his newly learned skills, Johnson can now cook a number of items, such as lasagna with 4 types of cheese, hamburger meat, and Cornish hen, a task that requires him to use a dry rub of salt, onion, pepper, and garlic, and then cook the breast down to the right temperature. We're all about having people return to independent lives, Starin said. Most people that are here intend to go back to work, and so living skills is something we all need to manage in the back of our careers, right? So at home, we need to be able to cook and keep our house clean and pay our bills and dress appropriately so we can go out and do that job. So it's just an integral part of a whole life. Johnson's is to become an accessibility technology instructor. He doesn't sweat kitchen challenges such as using knives. His confidence is something that goes back to his days as a biker. Blindness is like riding motorcycles, Johnson said. Once you get on, there can't be any fear because if you have fear, then you're going to wreck. Same thing with learning these skills and blindness. You've got to have the attitude that you're here to overcome your fears, and once you overcome those fears, anything's possible.
So, Eva, we talked about Johnson learning to cook. And here it says, with his newly learned skills, Johnson can cook quite a few things now. What are some of the things that he can cook?
Well, he can cook a lasagna with four types of cheese, something that I don't think I can do.
Wonderful.
I know. He can make hamburger meat, and Cornish hen, which I can imagine all of these would employ different types of skills of measuring, preparation, washing, and cutting, if any. Very impressive.
It's very impressive, the amount of things. Like, lasagna is actually a wonderful... My sister makes really incredible lasagna. Lasagna is hard to cook because it's a layer of pasta, and usually we put cheddar cheese or many other kinds of cheeses and ground beef, and then another layer of pasta. It's a lot of work.
It is.
These are cooking items that require a lot of work.
Yeah.
Yeah, so lasagna, it's amazing. Cornish hen... is interesting. Now, Cornish hen is a very small, immature chicken. So usually the size of the chicken is suitable for one person. Mm-hmm. And the meat is very tender because the chicken is butchered when it's very young. So the meat is very tender. So that's for people who don't know what Cornish hen is. That is what Cornish hen is. And then here it also tells us to cook the Cornish hen, he has to use a dry rub of salt, onion, pepper, and garlic, and cook the breast right down to the right temperature. That's another thing. How do you, when you're looking at the oven, how do you know what's the right temperature? Like, there must be a way that they can work those dials. So, maybe the dial will make a sound, 250 degrees Celsius.
Yeah.
Like, there must be another way around not being able to see, right?
Yeah.
There's just so many hurdles that Johnson has to overcome.
Yeah, a lot of non-visual ways to get around things, I can imagine. Even timing of how long you want to cook something.
Yes.
And sometimes, even if you follow a recipe, sometimes when you see it, you kind of know that, oh yeah, I think I need a little bit more time.
Yes.
Or, oh no, it's too much, I think it's going to burn soon. Like, a lot of cooking requires a lot of eye power, because you got to see and be like, okay, I think it's done. And not just what you see on a recipe.
Yes. So there are probably need a lot of assistive technology.
Yes.
We talked about assistive technology yesterday. This is any technology that helps people with disability function better, right? So there probably needs to be some assistive technology in the kitchen. And then we have Johnson's instructors say, we're all about having people return to independent lives. Because most people come to the center, they come because they want to learn these life skills so that they can go back, in the real world.
Yes.
Yeah. So living skills, living skills is very important. And we all need that to get back into work or get back into functioning in the real world.
Yeah.
Yes. And then what are some of the things that a person just needs to be able to do?
Well, we heard that, if you are at home, you would need to know how to cook, keep your house clean, and pay your bills, dress appropriately so that you can either go out, do your marketing, do your jobs. And I would imagine that these are things that we learn every day, you know. Mm. We get better and better at it. We learn how to choose our clothes. We learn how to choose groceries. And all of these are an integral part of just a whole life.
Yes, integral is like the necessary part, the critical, the crucial part of a whole life, right? So these are all what we call life skills,
yeah,
or living skills. These are life skills that we all have to have. Before you can go to work, you have to be able to do all of this stuff, just like manage your house properly,
yes,
manage yourself properly,
yeah,
right? Take a shower, be able to cook so that you don't starve,
yes,
you know, just clean the house, you know, pay your bills. This is all important. And then Johnson has a goal. I really love this. Like Johnson, even like with his vision loss at 59, he still has many goals. And what is his goal?
Well, he wants to become an accessibility technology instructor. So I can imagine everything that has helped him learn. You know, I think he wants to be able to help other people learn it so that they too can be independent like he was.
Yes. And he has this clear goal. It, this is a career goal, right?
Yeah.
He had, like, he's thinking of going back to work. He's not just going to sit at home and just, like, you know, like, waste his time. He wants to go back into work, and he wants to be an accessibility technology instructor. And to break that down, someone who does this kind of work is basically teaching other people how to use technology to overcome barriers in their life.
Yeah.
Just like we talked about, a lot of these barriers, like whether it's just like in cooking, there's so many things that perhaps you will need technology to help you if you cannot see.
Yeah.
And so this is not just for cooking. There's many, many things where technology can help people with disabilities. And so he wants to help others just like him. And then now he can use knives, because in the next sentence it says he doesn't sweat kitchen challenges such as using knives. That's incredible.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
I struggle with a knife.
I don't think I would dare take a, you know, like try to cut something if I was blind.
Exactly. Like, even if I can see, sometimes I'm like, oh dear, is it cutting too close to my fingers? And like the different sizes that I'm getting, I'm like, okay, that's tough.
Yeah, but to be able to be visually impaired, to be blind and using knives, that's really incredible. He's come a long way,
yes,
since he started coming to the center. And then, well, here the article says his confidence is something that goes back to his days as a biker. Like yesterday, in the beginning of the day, we were trying to describe Johnson, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who was Johnson? Who is Johnson? And right at the beginning of our article, we said that he was a biker.
Yeah.
He rides these big motorcycles.
Yeah.
So being a biker is actually helping Johnson now. Why is being a biker in the past helpful to Johnson's life now?
Well, he says that, you know, being blind is like riding a motorcycle. Once you get on, there can't be any fear, because if you have the fear, then you're going to wreck. You're going to get into an accident, or you're just going to feel like, okay, I don't have this, and you might just slip. And it's very encouraging that he actually compares being blind to something that he did when he was much younger.
Yeah, this is actually a very good analogy. So I think blindness, or basically fear, is like riding a motorcycle,
mm-hmm,
right? It's like when you get on a motorcycle, you might be really fearful. But here he says you can't have any fear, because if you're going to have fear, then you're definitely going to crash.
Yes.
So wreck here, we use wreck here. Wreck can be a verb or a noun. Here it's used as a verb. You're going to wreck. That means get heavily damaged or get destroyed. And we think of train wrecks. We think of plane wrecks. We think of a building getting wrecked, perhaps.
Shipwreck.
Or a shipwreck. Yeah, so anything that's wrecked is basically damaged or destroyed. And then here he says, you can't have fear, or you are going to get wrecked. Or in English, sometimes we say, you'll become a wreck.
Yeah.
When you'll become a wreck, it doesn't mean that you will physically get damaged. A lot of times, it means emotionally you're a wreck. It means emotionally you are so hurt, so in so much pain, so damaged that you can't function properly. So here, Johnson reminds us that you can't have fear when you're riding a motorbike. And he goes on to say, same thing of learning these skills in blindness. You've got to have the attitude that you're here to overcome your fears. So he has a really positive attitude.
He does.
Yeah, that you have to overcome your fears. And then the last line, and once you overcome those fears, anything is possible. So the main thing is you have to have attitude that you have to have faith that you can overcome your fears.
Yeah, I think it's very human to have fear.
Yes.
You know, fear of other people, fear of work, fear of spiders. And sometimes we get so scared that it just immobilizes us. You know, we can't move. We feel that because of this big thing in front of us, we cannot do anything. But having that attitude that, hey, I just have to show up. And once I overcome this fear, I can do anything after that. I think it's very inspirational to live by.
Yes, I agree. It's very inspiring. Like, you just have to keep going.
Yeah.
And don't give up. And just do what you can every single day.
Mm-hmm.
And just face the fear head on. Just
yeah.
keep going. And then sometimes it helps to have mentors. Like we talked at the beginning of that program, like for example, our personal trainers when mm-hmm. we first started going to the gym. Sometimes it's really helpful to have a mentor or someone who's done that and been there to help.
Yeah.
And then, but other times you might not have a mentor. Sometimes you might be on your own.
Correct.
And then we need to have the self-confidence and faith to believe that we can do it.
Yeah.
And just go for it.
Yes.
Yes. Well, friends, we hope that you got inspired by Johnson's story. I definitely did. I think a blind person being able to cook and to use knives, I'd be terrified.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's moving forward. He's not letting his blindness be an obstacle in his life. He is trying to live with the blindness and learn how to become useful to other people, to be a blessing to this world. I think that was really inspiring. And I hope that you were inspired by this article as well. Well, that takes us to the end of today's program. We hope you were inspired, and we welcome you to come back very soon for another edition of Advanced. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Eva.
Saying goodbye.
Bye.